We're going to continue our little mini series on living a life that glorifies God. Before we begin, I want to pray this over myself and so I get this thing right. Amen. Amen. I've amplified some words. You know the scriptures itself, Psalm 19:14. So I pray over myself that the words of my mouth, the meditations, the thoughts, the ideas, notions, inspirations, beliefs, theories, opinions, plans, philosophies, conceptions, and designs of my heart, the inner man, the mind, the will, and the understanding be acceptable, a pleasure, a delight in your heart, in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our mini-series on a life that glorifies God. We talked about that a person who lives before God, who's a believer, who is a Christian, who's a son of God, a child of God, they are to live a life that glorifies God, that honors God, that is well-pleasing to God. We're obligated to do that, and we were created for that purpose. Amen. When we talk about life, living a life that honors and pleases God, this is review, bear with me. We're talking about a lifestyle. Life means lifestyle, and we talked about this last week, that a lifestyle is made up of three components: that which we think, that which we speak, and that which we do on a daily basis. Equals a lifestyle. You don't have a lifestyle if you are kind to someone one day out of a month. You did it, but it's not a lifestyle. You follow me? So a lifestyle is that which we think, speak, and do on a daily basis. And that is what is to please God. A lifestyle then is made up of those three components, and we went over that last time. And so we said out of those three things that the thought life is the most crucial or the most important. Why? Because thoughts control what you say and thoughts control what you do. You don't say anything unless you think it. You don't do anything unless you first think it. And so we must realize that out of those three, if you want to control your lifestyle, you must control your thoughts. When we went over some scripture last time, that's Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. Our thoughts control then who we are. Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our thoughts control what we say. And then James 3:2 says we can control our mouth, we can control our whole body. So our mouth controls what we do. So what we think, what we say, and what we do. Then we ask ourselves then, if that's the case, since at the crux of a lifestyle is our thought life, then we need to understand or find out how do we control our thoughts. We need to control our thoughts. That's the million-dollar question. How do we control our thoughts? Because if we can control our thoughts, we can control our mouth, control our what we do. And so how do we control it? We began last week talking about how do we control our thoughts. And the first thing was what? Anybody taking notes? What do we have? Meditate. The word of God constantly, consistently, and continuously. And I could have just said meditate the word of God, and sometimes we become numb to day and night. So I added those three, hopefully under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, added those three constantly, consistently, and continually equals day and night and night and day. Now that takes practice. Amen. That takes intentionality. That takes deliberation. That takes being purposeful to meditate the word.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not something that your flesh is going to want to do. You have to fight that flesh.
Yeah.
You have to make yourself hear the word, meditate the word, speak the word, and do the word. We went over Joshua chapter 1. Let's go there by way of review. Joshua chapter 1 and look at verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Again, we need to control our thoughts. How do we control our thoughts? The first thing to do is to meditate the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Okay, you got it? Everyone has it? All right, Miss Minnie, let me know. You good? Okay. Verse 8, this book of the law, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, shall not depart from your mouth. We went over that in depth last time. Keep the word in your mouth. We're not saying you must speak the word of God all day, every day, because you have job, you have children, you're a mother, your father, your sister, your brother, you got life to deal with. But what it is, when the opportunity comes to speak the word, speak the word. And be constant in speaking the word.
Yeah.
Constantly, consistently, and continually. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Don't give way to opinions and philosophies and theories. Speak the word. Secondly, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Mull it over day and night. Day and night and night and day in the Hebrew. Day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day.
Amen.
So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Or in the Hebrew, then you will be successful and deal wisely in all the affairs of life. In the literal Hebrew. And so, in order to control our mind, we need to control our thoughts, and we need to meditate the word of God. Secondly, look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm stanza 1, verse 1. Many of you know this as well. Psalm, the first chapter, verse 1. We're talking about keeping our thoughts under control, which is quite a task. Seeing that we think or have probably as many as 20, 30, 40,000 thoughts per day, because we speak as many words as that, as it has been said. Psalm 1 and 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the path of sinners. Am I going too fast? Okay, let me slow down. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, take your time. Okay. All right. Psalm 1 and 1 again. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. He doesn't walk with them. He don't stand and congregate and associate with them. He doesn't sit and break bread with them. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is not in the counsel of the wicked. It's not in standing in the path of sinners. And it's not sitting in the seat of scoffers. That's not where his delight is. But his delight, his joy, where he derives his gladness, which is inward, deep, inward, inner joy, comes from the law of the Lord, which is the word of God. Quick prayer. Father God, help us to derive our joy from your word.
Yes.
Help us to be like Jeremiah, that we found your word and we ate them.
Yes.
And it was the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Here we go again. And in his law, the word of God, he meditates day and night. And it's something. He just doesn't say he meditates. In Joshua 1 and 8, he didn't say just meditate. It's day and night. And word of life, I am trying to impress upon you with the power of the Holy Spirit that this is to be done constantly, consistently, and continually. Please, every day. I beg of you, every day. I mean, as soon as you live here, leave here, even walking out to your car, let the word be on your mind.
Yes, Jesus.
You'll find you'll control your mouth and your actions a whole lot better. The reason that the people of God, I'm talking about the real people of God, not the fake ones, the real people of God are out of control at times is because the word is not on their mind. Something else is on their mind. Verse 3, when you do verse 1 and you do verse 2, then verse 3 is your result. He will be like a tree planted firmly by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. We want verse 3 without doing verses 1 and 2. Just like children, you know, we want dessert without vegetables.
All right.
Just like parents, you know, whenever I talk to parents, I tell them there's a vegetable phase and a dessert phase. Mm-hmm. The vegetable phase with parents is chastising, disciplining from 0 to 5. If you go from 0 to 5, you get in there from 0 to 5 real good, you've set a great foundation for the rest of their lives. But the problem is, from 0 to 5, parents want dessert, which is being friends, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, that's cute, did he spit on that little boy? Spitting and biting is not cute. Oh, it's no big deal. No, knock that fool out. Bless him. Hallelujah.
All right.
Knock him. That's, the Bible says, Proverbs, when you don't chastise your child, you hate them.
That's right.
And we're not talking about abusing a child. We're not talking about abusing a child. And those always teach parents, you don't hit in anger. Mm-hmm. Or make sure you hit in the right spot. They got a nice round padded area there. Right in that area. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to hurt. The word of God says, spare not for their crying. The children today not being spanked at all. And you have the children that the Spirit did not work in the children of disobedience. I mean, it's working in a mighty way. And so we must go through the vegetable to get to the dessert. And the vegetable is not saying, not standing in the way. Somebody may come to you with some counsel. And if you are discerning, that counsel, which is actually wicked, may sound good. Mm-hmm. And your flesh is saying, really? Man, I may want to kind of holler at that. Mm-hmm. No. So at that point, dessert is just going along with it. You follow me?
Yes.
But making your flesh eat them Brussels sprouts? Sir, can't do that. It's not godly. The Holy Spirit within me telling me that ain't right.
Amen.
And you don't walk in that counsel, let alone sit or stand rather and hear some more, let alone sit down and have lunch with them.
Amen.
That's all best. Sounded good, man. I so would like to holler at that man. That was sounding good, but no. Go through your vegetables, meditate the word, and you get dessert. Dessert is you'll prosper.
Yeah.
You will, your leaf won't wither. And whatever you do, you prosper. And your tree is firmly planted by streams of water.
Yeah.
Meaning them roots, excuse me for bad English, but them roots ain't gonna ever dry out.
Hallelujah.
It just streams of water. Feeding the roots, keeping your tree just nice and fresh and strong and God is a God that prospers. We just have to get it His way.
Hey.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
The problem is we want what God, we want all the dessert that God gives, but we don't want to do what He tells us to do to get the dessert.
That's right.
I'm going to shortcut and circumvent. Look at Psalm 119. I think that's where we stopped last week, was Psalm 1. Let's go to Psalm stanza 119, verse 11. Still talking about how do we control our thoughts, because that's the first thing that's going to control everything else. Hold on before you go there. I want to reread this review scripture. Let's go back to James chapter 3, verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. I want to go back over that. That is such a powerful scripture and it's such a great promise of a scripture. And it reads, "For we all stumble in many ways." Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We most certainly do. "If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." Which means what?
Mature.
Yes, spiritually mature. Very good. "Able to bridle the whole body as well." Wow. How does he bridle the whole body as well? By not stumbling in what he says.
Alright.
So the key there, and I know I'm being repetitive on purpose. The key to controlling your whole body. And I like how the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, puts in whole body. Not just the body. He couldn't say control the body, but he said the whole body. You control what you say. You control your entire body. Well, Jesus said before that in Luke 6, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So can you see the trickle down? You control your heart, mind, thoughts. You control your mouth. James said you control your mouth, you can control your entire body. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that kind of control.
Amen.
Can you see where I'm going with this again? I want that kind of control. Because if I keep my body under control, then guess what? I have just set myself up to live a life that glorifies God daily.
Amen.
Daily. I want to go back. That's why I want to read that again. You control what you say. You're able to bridle the whole body. I said Peter, the Apostle Peter, but James, I'm sorry. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. If he says that you control your mouth, you can control your whole body, then guess what? If you control your mouth, you will control your whole body, because God cannot lie.
Amen.
That's the verse to meditate on. You want to start meditating somewhere? Start with that one. You mean I can control my whole body? Yeah. I don't have to be, as a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, I don't have to be out here out of control, speaking everything. No, you sure don't.
Amen.
And if you are, I'm not saying you person, but if one is out of control, you can best believe that their thoughts aren't right.
Amen.
Therefore, the mouth is out of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love how diagnostic in nature the Spirit of the living God is. That's a diagnosis. If you are out of control, check what you're saying. And if that's out of control, then check what you're thinking. If you have flare-ups of where your mouth just go crazy, verbal flare-ups.
All right.
I mean, we all have them, right?
Yeah.
All right. How many have verbal flare-ups from time to time?
Amen. I know I got both hands raised, hey, and a foot. You can best believe that when that flare up happens, something didn't go right here. Your thoughts weren't right. And when your thoughts aren't right, the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, you're not thinking right. You're not thinking right. If you don't pay attention to that warning by the Holy Spirit, then what's going to happen? You're not going to be speaking right. If you aren't speaking correctly, then your actions are going to follow. So we need to hear the Holy Spirit saying, hold on, you need to flip that thought right there. Slow that down. Fix that. You fix what you're thinking. Thank God the Holy Spirit is a great coach.
Yes.
He's a great counselor.
Yes.
We talked about it. Give me a 20. I'm a timeout or a fool. And he knows that he'll tell you that.
Yes.
You need to time out on that thought, man. That ain't going to work. Because you keep thinking that. And that thought dwells in your mind, you're going to start speaking that. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Be careful. And so Jesus lets us know that we speak from that which feels our heart. Whatever thoughts are resting in your mind in abundance is going to come out. So we need to fill it with the word of God. Amen. So now let's go on over now to Psalm 119. Which fits right in with about filling our heart. Psalm 119. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 15 first. Psalm 119. Look at verse 15. Psalm 119 verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Okay. I will meditate. That's deliberation. That's being purposeful. That's being, there's no word I want. On that, you're doing this on purpose. You're making a decision that this is what I'm going to do. I will meditate. That's what you have to tell yourself. I will meditate on your precepts, Father God. And I will regard, pay attention to, and consider your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. That's what you tell yourself. I will do this. Like I told you, it's not automatic. Controlling your mind is a fight every day.
Yes.
All day. You must make a decision. I will meditate your precepts. I will regard and consider your ways, not mine. I will delight in your statutes, which is another word for his word. And I will not forget your word. That's a decision. Just being deliberate. Just being purposeful. And I will not forget your word. Go back to verse 11, please, of Psalm 119. Verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Treasured, which means to store up. To deposit, like as in a bank account. And he said, I've treasured your word. Your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Treasured in my heart. That fits with Colossians where it says that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Fits there in abundance. And so we are to treasure his word. But look at the result, that I may not sin against you. That's the big payoff.
Yes, Lord.
You say, well, why do I need to meditate the word of God? And why do I need to make sure that my mouth stays under control? And why do I make sure my actions stay under control? Because then you will not sin against God. And that life is what glorifies God.
Yes. Yes.
Can you see how that?
Living a life that glorifies God doesn't mean per se he's going out here living it. You need to know what to do. There's some behind the scenes things that need to go on. Literally speaking, behind the scenes, because it starts inwardly. So that's behind the scenes. You need to know what to do. Look at verse 97. You're already in Psalm stanza 119. They get verse 97. Verse 97 of Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. That's a prayer. Father God, I ask that we just fall in love with your law, that we can say with the emotion and the a heartfelt gratitude about your law, as David said, oh, how I love your law. Help us to love it like that, in Jesus' name. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. There it is. All the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Wow. You want to outsmart your enemies? Stay in the Word of God.
Amen.
For they are ever mine. What's ever mine? The Word of God. Ever mine means always with me. They are always with me. Because we are to carry the Word of God in our heart and in our mind. Not necessarily with me as in having a physical Bible, or because it's already on your phone. Thank God, that's good too. But you want to carry it not externally with you, but internally with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Don't get this so comfortable. I got the Word on my phone. But you need to have it in your heart.
Yes.
The Lord God Almighty said, I'm going to write my law on the fleshy circuits of their cellular phone.
No.
You didn't say that? Okay. I had the wrong translation. My bad. No. He said, I'm going to write on the fleshy table.
That's right.
He said, Colossians, let the Word of God dwell in you richly.
Yeah.
My word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. So if they're in you, then he says here, then they are ever mine. They're always with me. Everywhere you go, you might leave your phone.
Yeah.
You might leave the pulp and leather version of the Bible.
Right.
But it's in you. Another prayer. Father God, help us to keep your word always with us. Let it be ever ours.
Yes.
That is everywhere we go.
Yes.
It's in our heart. Not just in there, but in there in abundance. Yes. Richly. That we may not sin against thee. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 99 of Psalm 119. I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? Because your testimonies are my what? Meditation. I keep it on my mind and I go over and over and over and over it and over it and over it again. It's not about the volume of verses that you read per day. Not how many verses you cover, how many chapters you cover, how many books you cover in a day. It's meditate. You may meditate on one word in one verse.
Amen.
No word of God is void of power. All scripture is God breathed. Well, what to meditate on? I'm not sure. You can ask the Lord for you. You can start in a whole bunch of places. Start with the Lord is my shepherd, maybe. Or be ye holy as I'm holy. You can start with any of these scriptures. You can start meditating on meditating.
Yes. Amen.
Help me to meditate. So let me just focus on Psalm 1 and 1, or 1 and 2. Psalm 1 and Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Where I don't walk, sit, or stand in the counsel of the ungodly, but my meditation on the Lord. Just meditate on that. Meditate on meditating. It's all going to be prosperous. And then from there, the Lord will lead you into something else, wherever it may be.
Amen.
All right. So that's the first thing we must do. We must meditate the Word of God. Remember, the question again is, go back to the question, is how do we control our thoughts? Because if we control our thoughts, we will control our words. We control our words, we will control our actions. How do we control our thoughts? One, meditate the Word of God constantly, consistently, and continuously. The second thing we want to do in order to control our thoughts is to protect our mind.
Yes.
Protect our mind. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The first thing, to meditate continuously, constantly, consistently. Secondly, protect your mind. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Watch over, I think King James says guard, or keep, something like that.
Keep,
yeah. And keep means to watch over. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The word watch over or keep means to guard, keep, protect, and the implication is above all else. Above all else. That means make this a top priority. What? To guard your heart. What does that mean? That means there are just certain movies you ought not to see. Certain songs you ought not to hear. Certain TV shows you ought not to see. Or certain things, period, you ought not to see and hear. And that's why it's the parents' job to watch over the children, making sure that they are not watching and hearing certain things on the online, TV, radio, or whatever. It's the same thing with us. There are conversations that may be happening in the office that you need to walk away from. I don't need to hear that. And Lord, I tell you, this is about to go real south, real quick. Get out of the break room or whatever. You may be at a family reunion, and some cousins over here about to talk crazy. You're like, you can get there early. Like, let me get out of here. Let me go. Protect your heart. Guard. Keep above all else your heart, which is the intellect, the mind, the thoughts, and the emotions. So I'm going to read it with all the amplification. Watch over, guard, keep, protect, above all else, your heart, your intellect, your mind, your thoughts, and emotions, and do it with all diligence. Meaning you just don't halfway go at it. You do it with all diligence. You're meticulous about it. You're very attentive to it. You are carefully doing it, and you're persistent in doing it. Oh, Lord God, help us hear this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's the breakdown right there in some of us, that we don't watch over and guard and protect our minds with all diligence. And so things slip in there, a word slips in there, something you saw. Remember, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
That's right.
Little ears, what you hear.
That's it.
That's part of guarding your heart. Because what comes into the eye gate and the ear gate reaches the heart.
Yes, it does.
That's why certain songs, my Lord. So we are to watch over, guard, and keep, protect above all else our heart, intellect, mind, thoughts, and emotion, which with all diligence, with all attentiveness, being meticulous and careful and persistent in watching. Why? Because from it flow the springs of life, or source of life, that which sustains life, etc. Life flows from that. Yes. Your actions flow from that. Your words flow from that.
Yes.
That which brings about life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Protect your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So the first thing we need to do in protecting our mind is watch what goes into it through the eye gate and the ear gate. Through the eye gate and the ear gate. And I'll say this, something you smell may bring up something. So guard that too, you know. You know, food can be something else. You smell something, boy, you're done. So be careful even what you smell. Just watch those senses. Eye gate, ear gate, nose gate. Guard it, protect it above all else. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we live as human beings, we do not war according to the flesh. So although we walk in a physical body, we don't wage our war according to being physical, natural, earthly. Because, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare, our meaning spiritual as spiritual beings, are not of the flesh, earthly, carnal, natural, physical, comma, but divinely powerful for the destruction of, King James has strongholds, which is fortresses. Okay. Fortresses. Now, in the time of Joshua, when he had him to walk, march around seven times. And eventually what happened on the seventh day? Walls fell flat. History tells us that the walls that surrounded Jericho were so thick. Actually, this is a top bird's eye view. It was so thick that two chariots riding side by side could ride on that wall. That's how thick the walls were. Are you listening to me? That's a fortress. Listen. We know that he's not talking about natural fortresses, right? Where are these fortresses? Let's go back. Look at verse 4 again. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Where are these fortresses? Verse 5. We are destroying with the weapons that are divinely powerful from verse 4. You see that? You see that? I make sure everybody understanding me. I got two people understanding me. You understand? All right. But look at verse 4 again. But divinely powerful. What is divinely powerful? The weapons. Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, comma, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So the weapons that are divinely powerful, verse 5, we're going to use them to destroy speculations, which is King James has verse 5. Imaginations. And every high thing. So imagination, casting down and destroying. Imagination is speculations, thoughts, reasonings, theories, philosophies. So imaginations is speculations, thoughts, reasonings, theories, philosophies, and ideas. All of that is of the mind. So these fortresses are in our mind. That thick.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why only God
yes.
can have someone else believe something they've been believing for years and years and years and years and years. Amen. Only God can come in and blow that thing up.
Amen.
Only God. It takes the word of the living God. That's why if you understood what I just said, that these fortresses are built in our minds, can you see why natural, carnal, earthly, physical weapons can't work?
Amen.
Because a gun can't fix a person's heart. A bullet or a knife can't fix a person's thoughts. We need the word of God. Because this is where strongholds are. That's why you must be careful what you teach those around you. Because once they believe it and it takes root, then that becomes this over time. That's why you aren't to use the word of God to argue. You don't argue. Brother man got his, or sister girl got their way of believing. You keep that. Because arguing, it's not designed for that. Word of God tells us not to do that.
Amen.
What Jesus did was pronounce judgment. He didn't argue with the Pharisees. He knew they had their way of thinking. And he knew they were going to keep on thinking that way. He pronounced judgment on them. And ones who came, like Nicodemus, they came. Paul was a Pharisee. Of Pharisees. He came. But you don't argue. You can't do nothing with that. Speculation, thoughts, reasoning, theories, philosophies, and ideas. How much time? Not long. We really need to understand that ideas are extremely dangerous. It took me 60 years to really understand that everything started with ideas. I didn't realize it. Think of the Holocaust started with an idea. Think of abortion, starts with an idea. Man go with a man, starts with an idea. Woman with a woman, starts with an idea. Those are all ideas. Racism is an idea, started with an idea. I'm a racist, racism, the spirit of hatred toward another group. Social injustice, inequities, all of those started with ideas to keep someone down over something else, someone else. All of that started with an idea. Ideas have great consequence. You can best believe that. Don't take ideas, philosophies, reasonings, theories lightly, because a theory of evolution is taught as fact. Even though it says it's a theory, it's still taught as fact in textbooks. And they'll teach your children if you don't unteach them when they get home. The Big Bang Theory is just that, a theory.
Amen.
And yet it's taught as a fact, as an accepted fact. No, you got to use the weapon that is divinely inspired to destroy these strongholds, these speculations, these thoughts, reasonings, theories, ideas, and philosophies. And not only that, verse 5, reading on. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, there it is, captive to the obedience of Christ. Every single thought. How do you control your thoughts? Is when a thought comes in, you got to do that. You got to get your Holy Ghost security police on that thought, surround that thought, handcuff him, and lead that thought out of your mind. And bring it into subjection to the Word of God. Controlling your thoughts is an active assignment, if you will. It's not the word I want. But it's not passive. You must actively do this. I will meditate on the things of God. I will concentrate and consider your precepts. I will lead this thought. I will not continue thinking like this. When thoughts come into your mind, that are not in line with the Word of God, you will be notified by the Holy Spirit that this is not godly to think this. And then you are responsible for getting that thought out of there. And you ought to lead it captive to the obedience of Christ. What do? Bring that thought under submission to the Word of God.
Yes.
Then lastly, two more and we're done. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 8, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute. If there is any excellence, King James says, any virtue, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, King James says, think on these things. So what's implied in there is dwell the thoughts of your mind on these things. What things are that? Things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and of good repute.
Right.
Dwell, fix your mind on these things. And then he says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen, that learn, receive, heard, and seen in me, do or practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you.
Yes.
Once again, it's a command. He says to dwell on these things. Not, let me suggest this. You know, let me just talk to you about this. No, dwell on these things. Meditate the word daily. These are commands. Controlling your mind is something you must do, I must do, we must do. God's not going to do it for us. He gives us the tools to do it, but in the end, we're the ones that have to do it. Lastly, 1 Timothy 4, and we're done. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. So this is like the closing verse to this sermon. That's why I'm going to say it like that. So when I say these things, everything that was taught here today, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Yeah, 15. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. The things that were taught here today, meditate upon these things. And then it says, give thyself wholly to them. W-H-O, completely. It's like diving into a swimming pool. When you give yourself, you're going to dive in completely into the pool. Give yourself wholly to them. And then the reason that thy profiting may appear to everyone, not just to you, but everybody else. Because remember, you're to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Yes.
And then they, seeing your good works, will give God glory. So let your profiting appear to everyone. Everyone ought to see, know, and understand that you are a Christian. You ought to be distinctly Christian. You ought to be obviously Christian. Your profiting may appear to all, because you do profit when you meditate the word and give your whole self over completely to them. To them what? The word of God. The things that were taught here today. Father God, we need you to carry this out.
Yeah.
Fighting Our thought life is a daily battle, an hourly battle, a minutely battle. We need you, and I thank God that we have you. Those who are your children. Your word says in Hebrews and 13, I believe, verses 5 and 6, that we can boldly say with great confidence that the Lord is our helper.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are our helper.
Amen.
You said in your word that you will never, ever, never, ever, it's tripled up in the Greek, ever, ever, ever leave us nor forsake us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. In Matthew 28, and lo, yes, you are with us always, even to the end of this age. So we got your help. You got our back. But you know what, Father God? We got to understand you're not going to do it for us. You equipped us to do it. You've commanded us to do it. You've enabled us to do it. We have the capacity to do it, but we must do it. Help us to control our thoughts. And in so doing, we will control what we say. And James says, when we control what we say, we will control our entire body. This is what we want to do, Father. We want to do it for your praise and your glory and your honor. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.